Today on Artworks, we're talking with filmmaker Haile Gerima. Born and raised in Gondar, Ethiopia, Gerima first came to the U.S. in the late 60s to study theater. But along the way, he accidentally became a filmmaker, and an award-winning one at that. In his searching quest for the truth, Gerima rejected the mainstream studio system and struck out on his own. He was then, and remains, fiercely independent, which has allowed him the freedom to realize his controversial yet heartfelt films such as Bush Mama, Ashes and Embers, and Sankofa, the latter two made in part with NEA support. Gerima moved to D.C. roughly 30 years ago to teach film at Howard University. In order to continue creating his independent films, he and his wife founded the Sankofa Bookstore and Cafe, across the street from Howard, which also serves as his production house. Can you just talk about the importance of storytelling and how that tied into your youth and led you down the path that you chose for a career?
Storytelling for me is really something ingrained from childhood. My father was a playwright, and my grandmother, my mother, all at night in a land of no television, no outlet for young people. So my primary evening times were occupied around the fire with my mother or grandmother, or participating in my father's endeavor to tell stories. Theater in Ethiopia has a long history of tradition. And so from the jump, telling stories has been just my preoccupation. Nothing interested me outside that, even school or learning. So as I moved into the high school and then the college thing, I knew I had to study theater, and then stumbled into film by accident, which I thought really gave you the most powerful weapon to tell a story in a very, I would say, powerful way, because you have now a whole, you don't have to go from stage to stage. Like my father used to have a mobile theater from city. Now you have to shoot your story and let it go on its own to every community that is interested in viewing or hearing your story. And so it's really a part of that whole childhood orientation that continues to be my engine.
Were you watching and kind of inhaling a lot of cinema? I mean, were you an avid film goer?
No, until I went to UCLA to pursue the theater, schooling that I started in Chicago. I didn't think I had an entitlement. It was very, very remote in my, I would say, opportunity to make movies. So movies were very far. Now, subconsciously, I've watched a lot of movies. Where I grew up, the Italians had left a theater they built. And I watched a lot of Western Tarzan films. When I started going to film school, now I have to look at films in a very serious way. And so it's really after I got to UCLA that I looked at films more as a craft that it also interested me.
Was there a particular moment, I guess, at UCLA where an aha epiphany, this is my vocation, this is my passion?
No, I was in trouble in the theater department with the faculty, so I was escaping, because basically I'm a rebel. I don't like a program that negates my origin. You know, I was not from this Greek Aristotelian Chekhov. You know, I've come from a very, very culturally old ancient society, and so I couldn't just submit to the, I would say, the pedagogical approach of that only the Eurocentric world exists. And so that was taken in a very threatening way. And so when I went to this chairman, he just transferred me with, I said, I want to go to the film, because I accidentally saw the film students showing a film out of my walking around frustrated. I stumbled into the film department. And then I saw students were showing their work. I said, what a powerful position to be in.
It'd be great if you could tell us a little bit about your landmark film, Sankofa, for which you've also named your coffee house and bookstore.
It's a genetic memory on slavery. Not many black people have been allowed to exorcise genetic tinglings. To me, are not unrelated or unconnected to past things. The role of the artist in any endeavor is to exorcise and process this tingling shots that come like lightning hitting into your consciousness or subconsciousness. and you bring them into society debates. So Sankofa is really about genetic memory, period. How does the past manifest in the present? And what do you do if you want to dislodge and go forward? So Sankofa itself is retrieving from the past memory to comprehend the present and go forward. And so Sankofa brought that. And in a place I was told there's no audience, they lined up. From here to Chicago, Chicago to LA, people lined up and watched the film. We didn't have distribution. Again, my stubbornness, but two, the monopolies and inability to really know how to market my kind of film stories. You have to be innovative even how you package it. And this is what happened. So what we did was just made the community participate in our distribution. We created a Sankofa family in every state. They became our sub-distributors. We go in only to push the film through that community. They get a theater. They go to churches. We spoke in churches. We spoke in community centers, universities, colleges, pushing the movie. And I can't do it now. At that time, it was part of my stubbornness, and I proved that there is market for other kind of films also, besides the booty calls and the films that are encouraged out of especially inner city stories.
To teach and to be across the street from your production house, what a perfect little world that you've created for yourself.
Well, you know, when I left UCLA and came to Howard, my whole objective was that I would create near my working facility some production office where I could do in-house, especially the editing part of my films. Because you spend so much money paying rent for editing your films. And so that was a very obsessed, driven part of the plan if I am to make any film. And so 10 years ago, I was able to, with my wife who's also a filmmaker, we got this place together and we distribute our own films. We distribute to universities and cultural centers and theaters. We open our own film in theaters independently. We have a video bookstore where we have, you know, writers and filmmakers come and do video book signing. We have film viewing or film showings. We have children reading every Sunday. And then the community used the different rooms for study group.
I heard you say that an artist should be honest and gutsy. And if you could just speak to that, what it means to be an artist.
Are you honest, even when you make a mistake with wrong truth? And I have settled now, you know, for me, I have to continue to check, am I being truthfully honest with myself? Is this something that makes me happy to do? Why is this story more obsessive to me than anybody else? And this kind of like base often gives you the drive to keep the commitment to that project. Each film you do, you need to be committed. If I don't believe in it, nobody is there for me. Nobody is there for that project. And why, you have to always ask, why am I killing myself for this project? No, it quenches me. It shows me how I have no right to complain.
Thinking of somebody who has never made an independent film, can you talk about your particular creative process, how you do what you do?
The creative process for me is really be open to stumble into accidental things that make your artwork, in fact, better. I go to the editing room without a premeditative idea to let it speak to me in that mood of given my all who I am, including the mood that Tuesday or Monday brought into my nature. So the creative process for me is improvisation again with life. None is unconnected. The creative process is accumulated knowledge of your own aura, your own psyche, your own temperament, your own history, the environment you hang around. All that is, it encompasses everything, including your family problem, your children, whatever you think of. Like my kids have a lot to do with my growth as a filmmaker. Sometimes I'd be afraid I would be maybe fascist without my children. They tenderized me. And when I write a script, they affect how I write. This, the creative process is a very serious and personal. You know, even the idea of what time, when to work, when are you your best, it's not taught by, nobody could dictate when is the best time for you to write. It's the same thing. The creative process has a very unexplainable, non-scientific, but very improvisational, accidental edge to it. And incorporating that in art is very important in my view.
That was an Artworks Art Talk with renowned filmmaker and professor Haile Gerima. For the National Endowment for the Arts, I'm Adam Campy. Thanks for listening.